Hi, this is Christian Buckley. I'm Managing Director of Americas for GT Consult.
And I'm Craig Tarr, the COO and co-founder of GT Consult.
And we're here on module five of the final module in our Managing SharePoint On-Prem versus Online, talking about some of the changes as people move over to the cloud and what that means. So we're talking about making the cloud transition. And so no demos in this one, but you know, there's some important topics that we just want to cover before we wrap up the session here. Talking about the adjustment to that Office 365 updates. It's a new world, following the roadmap, being aware of what's changing. Some of the big picture topics about management considerations, and specifically around your overall cloud strategy, you know, what those look like. And then you know, the governance. What does that look like in the real world, out in the wild?
Cool. Let's get into it.
So we're going to prepare for the inevitable transition towards the cloud. So if you've not been over to the roadmap site, so apparently you've not been paying attention to anything that Microsoft has been pushing out there. But what's exciting about this is that you know, this change happened about a year and a half ago, whenever the roadmap site went up, but was the most insight that we've ever seen before publicly into the roadmap on a regular basis. So it's very exciting to see, to go in and look at what's been launched, what's slowly rolling out that may be in the multi-tenant environment on certain tenants, things that are in development. And of course, that's going to be the biggest list here, as well as things that have been canceled or things that happened in previous releases. So you can go in and dig into the detail of what's been happening and what's going to happen on the Office 365 environment.
And I believe that's one of the biggest changes in Office 365. If you're coming from an on-premise environment, essentially your new rollout would come every 3 years with maybe a patch in between those 3 years. But now we're living in an ever-changing environment. So on a daily, weekly basis, they're doing rollouts and patches and changes on that 365 environment, just making it better every day.
And honestly, for a lot of enterprises, this has also been a matter of concern because you know, they're worried about every time that there's changes, even a UI change, they're having to go and update their training materials, their documentation. They're not sure, okay, how much has changed? What do we need to go and let our end users know? What changes on the admin experience? And so I think everyone's adjusting to that model. And so it's kind of a learning for everybody.
So what are some of those adjustments to the Office 365 updates? Well, the first is no correlation errors or backend. So we can't use our PowerShell scripts to get that information out, and we don't have access to the logs to pull the information as to exactly what's going wrong in an environment if we do end up with an issue. So we don't really have that ability to troubleshoot. So you can call up Microsoft support. They'll get back to you. But remembering that they're dealing with all different types of support, from end user to quite advanced support. So it can sometimes take a while to deal with that.
We made that bullet a little bit snarky for a reason, because we've had some issue. And part of that is like something that is important to us as a partner with our customer, where Microsoft may be aware of it and have it prioritized lower than it is within our priorities. And so we may not hear back as quick. I'll just say that there's some room for an improvement in part of that. But anyway, it's, you know, we are getting information much more quickly. And so it's something that we're continuing to provide feedback to Microsoft about our experience as a partner. And then our customers, we're encouraging them to provide that same feedback back to Microsoft.
Okay. There are also continual updates that happen on the site that can cause some strange experiences. So, I mean, you could have a problem where your save a template suddenly disappears, or you're unable to save a template. And this can cause some obvious issues when you're trying to build out a site. So sometimes Microsoft's rolling back features, updating features, and putting patches in place.
So there's a number. There are some tools that are available out there. You may have to you may have to utilize some of these other tools. I know that we were just in the last module 4, we're talking about some of the admin controls, like going in and doing permissions management. Some of the most powerful and popular third-party tools for on-prem were the ability to go and globally manage permissions from one location. So at a farm or even a multi-farm level, and now with SharePoint Online and some of the limited APIs that are available, those ISVs are limited in some of the capabilities that they can roll out around those tools. So here you're looking around at different apps and tools and solutions to try and automate a lot of that experience on the admin console in SharePoint Online.
Then moving to 365 gives you some level of control, but it also means giving up some level of control. And here, you don't have a control over when those patches are loaded, when software is upgraded, and when they're doing any other administration type tasks. Now, this becomes all the more pertinent if you've got third-party apps running on your mm-hmm. environment. And you can actually sign up ahead of time to get any of the changes so that you can maybe have a tenant running with a test tenant where you can see any of the changes that are applicably going to affect you. We obviously signed up with that because any of our clients will need to understand how any of the changes are going to affect them. But otherwise, you're really at the mercy of the patches that are being deployed.
So I would say that would be a best practice to actually have that other tenant set up that's part of the preview program. So you're seeing things as part of the early visibility into the changes that are coming, certainly around new features so that you can better prepare on your production environment. So some of the management considerations for hybrid environments, and I know that we've talked a bit about this in other sessions and in other modules here about what's happening around hybrid and cloud. And I just try to simplify this in our communication and when we talk to customers about this. You have your on-premises environment, the cloud, and then what this means in a hybrid. So if you think about that, location and facilities. Obviously, if you have an on-prem SharePoint environment, you need to maintain the space. Depending on the size of your environment, then the costs that are associated, the personnel associated, and the skill set in your organization. And that's a big selling factor for the cloud is, like, do you want to be in the business of maintaining infrastructure to be able to run these systems? Or do you want to be in the business of whatever your business is in business for,
And the ability there to click a button to say, add more storage, really, really great functionality that you've got in the cloud that you don't have in your on-premises. But in the hybrid, well, now suddenly you need to think about both of those and both scenarios.
Yeah, so that applies to the software licensing and support, the hardware and maintenance that you need to maintain, this personnel skills, all of those things. You can see on-prem, you own them. In the cloud, most of that comes with the service itself. Hybrid, what's tricky about that is it depends on the workloads and where they sit, how much on-prem, online, to know how much you're going to save. Look at it this way, from a business impact. Is the revenue we're generating by having certain workloads in the cloud greater than the cost it is to maintain, two systems, my on-prem and my online? Things that you need to look at and understand the ROI of these features. But similarly, the level of customization that's available on-prem versus the cloud and in hybrid.
Yeah, I mean, this we get involved in a lot of customizations of a site and applications, and we have to be quite inventive in terms of how we use browser technology, things like jQuery and SP services and mm-hmm. those types of libraries to enable a lot of customizations and applications. But one of the big things in terms of customizations is look and feel and getting your corporate identity across. Where in the cloud, it has been said by Microsoft to rather not build out your own master pages because it could affect some of their functionality going forward. So these are some considerations that need to be taken into account.
And the other categories that you see here, so governance, as we've talked at length about during the session, disaster recovery and business continuity, and then the upgrade or migration space, what you own, what is provided within the cloud, and then to think about the impacts of administration within a hybrid environment. And so that may, I'd like to let customers know that, look, there are options that are out there, and what may make sense for your business may not fit every business, and hybrid may be a model that very much fits your needs, your requirements. Just be aware of the overhead, you know, that could be involved of maintaining these two systems. And one of the things I like to do, just to kind of illustrate this, and I did a presentation, good friend of mine, people know him, SharePoint MVP, Dan Holm, and I did a presentation that was in Copenhagen 2 years ago. But with this idea of balancing, there's the business need, so the actual requirements, and what the service can provide. And maybe this sounds overly simplistic to some people, but I think it really comes down to this. I mean, the first phase of that is identifying your requirements. Know what your constraints are, so the rules that you are governed by, that you are legally responsible for, as well as all your end user requirements. And you're doing that without the constraint of what is happening inside the environment. So in this case, SharePoint Online. So you have those business requirements first. Second, you're mapping those requirements and those constraints over to what SharePoint can or can't do. Like any technology, there's a finite number of features and scenarios that it supports. It either does these things or it doesn't. The next question is, then you need to make the difficult decisions around them. Okay, I've got 10 requirements. It can do 8 of them. Of the remaining 2, and they can do those 8 out of the box. The remaining 2, can we build it or do we have to buy a third party tool to do it? Well, it can do number 9, but number 10 can't be built or bought. It doesn't do it. Then you need to make a decision. Does this kill it? Are we stopped? Do we need to remain on-prem? Can only some of the workloads move across? Or have we made a decision we can do without this requirement or some level of manual maintenance between those two? And then the fourth one, and this is again an important part of overall your planning and governance, is that ongoing operations management. So even once you have the system deployed, you're up and running, whether it be hybrid or a pure cloud, you can't just stop. You've not just put the policies in place and say, that's it, because your business is constantly changing, your end user requirements are maturing as they're doing more within SharePoint, and so you need to be adjusting everything you think you know about your SharePoint environment on an ongoing basis. But that's part of that change model.
And so it makes us pertinent not only for migration, but also for your ongoing projects. So any new project, you follow the same steps again and then decide, well, is the cloud the right place to be putting that project?
Right. And I just very simple, very quickly, I like to illustrate, you know, what does governance mean? A lot of people think of governance as this kind of police state, lockdown, this is what it is, command and control center. While others look at governance more of a reactive, like herding up the crazy cattle that are running everywhere.
Some cases herding the sheep.
Herding the sheep. But I think of governance more as something that you do up front and maintain ongoing. It's like planning out a community, saying that we understand based on the layout of this, this will be the traffic along these avenues. Here's where we're going to have the various services, and constructing that to be able to grow and scale as the population grows. And so you need to think of governance that way. A lot of upfront planning, a lot of ongoing, continual fine-tuning and maintenance. So some of the best practices that we highly recommend is you think about management of SharePoint, whether hybrid or pure on-prem with SharePoint Online. Focus, number one, on the end user experience.
And I think that's not only just in the application itself and how they utilize SharePoint and SharePoint Online, but also getting to as simple as, well, how does it look? How do they feel about the ease of using that system? And even to adoption, how easy is it for them to learn about the system? Taking on new staff, how easy is it for them to pick up the system? So to me, that's the number one best practice focus.
And so there's a number of things that you can do. I mean, I highly recommend, so people say, well, how do I go and do that? You're talking about that at a high level, but what do I actually do? Is that, well, I'm a huge advocate to having internal SharePoint groups, for example, to do those, I mentioned these brown bag lunch and learns, doing just kind of spot interviews with end users and getting their feedback about their site, their experience, and regularly polling users more broadly to get feedback on those things. There's a number of ways to get feedback mechanisms. And as, you know, Craig, you talked about, you know, the feedback directly within the UI as well, but, you know, pulling that information on an ongoing basis. Again, it's not just about the initial deployment, but ongoing, how are you pulling in that data?
Yeah, and you just spoke about governance, and I think to a great degree, we need to look at the governance and the measurements around that, the legal measurements and constraints, KPIs, as well as looking at the policies and procedures, and then right down to a granular document level around the permissions there.
And that's certainly going to be important as your requirements change. In a scenario around that change is that you acquire a new business or take on a new, an additional enterprise application or system of some point, or take on a new set of customers, all of which can impact the policies that you have in place.
So we've mentioned a lot of governance here, but governance means different things to different people. So let's just talk about the technical governance, what exactly we're talking about here.
Sure. I think I always like to outline it. You've got your corporate governance, your IT. So this is when you think of governance and you're talking to an executive, they're talking about really the strategies. They're talking about what we're trying to accomplish as a building. And I think of back when I was with inside Microsoft, and Steve Ballmer would come out and say, these are the pillars that we're focusing on this year. That's that corporate governance that drives how the rest of the business formulates that. Within IT then looks at the corporate level and says, within our realm, our sphere of influence, here's how we manage these different areas that we control to meet those corporate governance standards. And the same applies for SharePoint, how SharePoint then meets those IT governance requirements, which are meeting the corporate governance. And then at the content level, and even at a site level, an end user level, how the way that I'm using the platform fit within the context of the governance. But I think when you get down to the granular, more of what you're asking, it's really what's listed here. Logins work, the data is secure, the system is performant, metadata has been applied so we have context to our content, end users are successfully finding their content. That's a key. I can upload, can I ever find it again? You need to think about that. You've optimized storage, you've got your content life cycles. It's not just about putting in. We talked about how quickly the volume of content is growing. You need to occasionally clean house as well. But making sure that all of your legal and regulatory constraints are being answered, are being met.
So essentially, this works as a really good summary slide for everything that we've shown today. So those logins, understanding Active Directory, single sign-in, multiple forest domains, security in your data and site permissions, your metadata in your term store, and utilizing that within your search to enable that finding, and then using concepts like e-discovery for legal and regulatory requirements.
Yep. I always like the idea of these self quizzes of looking at how much are we doing today, where are areas for that we can improve. So the management readiness. So how important is governance in the organization today? Hey, be honest about that. The most enterprises struggle with how to roll this out successfully. Do you know who has access to what information? Why they need access? Where they're having issues? Are you looking and monitoring how they're accessing that content? Do you have specific compliance requirements, regulations that you need to meet? Maybe your finance department has very strict policies around data, and then for some reason as the data finds its way into SharePoint, those are all out the window. So you need to make sure that you're consistent across the many systems that you manage. If there was a security breach, who is held responsible? How did you know that there was a breach? What did you do after that to shore up your policies? And are you regularly run audits looking at usage, security, permissions, kind of all those general areas? And so what does that change management, that governance process look like? How do people bring concerns forward? How do various business units and teams come and say, we've found this gap, we need to make a change in how we have SharePoint structured? Because this goes back to usage, to adoption and engagement within the platform. If people are bringing issues forward, they're saying, our business unit, finance team, our needs are not being met by the platform, and you're not responding quickly and effectively, then they're going to stop using that platform and they're going to wander away and find another way to securely meet those requirements. So you need to be responsive to these needs.
So I think in summary to today, it's very important to understand that if you're moving that administration outside of necessarily IT, you need to actually start taking into account this kind of governance and how to manage that farm. And especially for users who are not used to actually administering a farm, it's quite a different world. So moving to the cloud, more than just moving content, it requires a lot of planning, and especially from an admin's point of view.
Yep. So governance is just critical to everything you do inside of the platform. If you want it to be healthy, if you want it to be, established and scalable, then you need to be thinking about how governance is managed, how the change management process is managed within your organization. Hopefully that was informative. Hopefully, if you've got any questions, of course you can contact Craig and myself, or details down below on the Twitters. But hopefully you've enjoyed this session, and thanks for watching.
Thank you.